In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. A few years ago, our teen youth groups underwent a name change. The middle school group became Crash, and the high school group became Emerge. To the rest of us, they may sound just like silly, trendy names for a youth group, but in fact, they actually mean something. Crash was chosen because it refers to what happens when we truly pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Their skit this morning did a great job of pointing out the way we tend to pray these words so blithely sometimes that we miss the radical nature of what it is we're asking for in prayer. That our earthly world would be reformed, remade into the image and likeness of heaven. Our youth leaders chose the name Crash because they wanted our middle schoolers to begin to grasp the deeper significance of Christian faith. That faith is not about trying to be good. It's about asking heaven to crash into your heart and your life and remake you and then make you an agent of God's change in the world around you. That's why our high school youth leaders chose the name Emerge, because once you've experienced the crash of heaven and earth in your own life, then you have the opportunity to emerge from that into a new kind of life as an agent of divine love in this often terribly mixed up, violent, and hurting world. Through their skit on the Lord's Prayer, our youth have asked us, cajoled us, pushed us to not just repeat the words that we pray unconsciously, but really to think about what it is we're praying for, and to really pray when we pray. Now, I'm going to come back to the Lord's Prayer in a minute. But since the youth have asked us to really think about what we pray, today also happens to be Trinity Sunday, a day that's set apart to appreciate what it means to pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's easy to get lost in a theological bog on Trinity Sunday. The idea of one God being three distinct persons, yet remaining one God and not three gods, has rattled the best minds in human history. So I'm not even going to try to explain it, but simply want to appreciate the fact that our Christian understanding of God has evolved to include it. The understanding of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit began to evolve in the earliest centuries of the church, when the followers of Jesus were a minority in a world dominated by Greco-Roman polytheism. As Christianity spread out beyond Israel, Christians lived among peoples who believed the world was ruled by a pantheon of gods, each exerting control over a different aspect of the world and of human life. There was a sun god and a god who controlled thunder. We remember all these from Greek mythology. There were gods of war and a god who controlled love. There was a god for everything. And maybe because no one of them controlled everything, they had a tendency to be jealous of one another in these myths and to war against one another, using the earth as their battleground. So it was the world of humans and not the world of gods that always suffered the casualties. So when Christians began to speak to a polytheistic people about Jesus, most people understood him to be a god, that is, a god among other gods. So the earliest Christians who had emerged out of a monotheistic faith in Israel began to say to that world, No, Jesus is not a god among other gods. You should think of him more like a son of the God. the God who created and sustains everything, like all of your gods, rolled into one, except better, because that God is more interested in your well-being than in using you as a plaything. You can imagine their polytheistic conversation partners saying, "Oh, okay, then you're saying there aren't 12 gods, but 2 gods, a father and a son." And the Christians saying back, "No, not 2 gods, there's only 1 God. And Jesus is the incarnation of that God among us. He came to show us what it looks like to be made in the image of God, as we were originally made. He came to show us how to restore ourselves to that original integrity with which we were made." "Okay, but that God died." "Yes, he died because, among other reasons, he wanted to experience the world fully as we experience it, to know it as we know it. Jesus died, but God the Father raised him from the dead." "See, you do have 2 gods, Father and Son. And now they're both in heaven and have left you here in a lurch." "Well, not exactly. Jesus said he would not leave us orphaned, but would send an advocate, that the Holy Spirit would be with us to guide us in God's wisdom." And I can just imagine them saying, "I hate to tell you this, but what you're describing is 3 gods." To which the Christians might have responded with what became our doctrine of the Trinity: "No, really, these are different dimensions within one God. One God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, different dimensions who do not war against each other seeking advantage, but are united in one purpose, and that purpose is to bring heaven to earth." The youth have told us today, "Mean what you pray." Well, this is what we're asked to mean when we pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, that we claim ourselves as sons and daughters of God, made in the image of a loving Father and Mother who created us, who revealed himself to us in human flesh through Jesus, and who will not leave us orphaned, but pours himself out in love and wisdom, giving us power to restore our lives to the image in which we were made. At one point in the skit on the Lord's Prayer that we just saw, this group of people in church prays, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And God, so skillfully played by Russ, interrupts to ask, "Do you really mean that?" "Sure, why not?" someone answers. "Well, what are you doing about it?" "Doing? Nothing, I guess. I just think it would be kind of neat if you got control of everything down here like you have up there." God then asks, "Have I got control of you?" It's a very good question. Has God got control of us? Fathers, on this Father's Day, has God got a hold of you as a parent or a grandparent? Neighbors, think of how you are with your neighbors. Has God got a hold of you? People who work in boardrooms and run businesses, parishioners in our various ministries, have we allowed God to crash into our consciousness as we go about our daily lives? To get a hold of our priorities and our manner of being with each other and the world we inhabit? If not, the Lord's Prayer is a pretty good starting place. Maybe we should all sign up and join Crash so we can emerge new people and be part of this mission that God has to bring heaven down to earth. That would be my prayer, anyway, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.